Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As we move into the 4 o'clock hour, it's WEEI Afternoons. I'm Christian Arcan. That's Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us today on a hot one out there in the Commonwealth. There's people going to the beach today. I was like, what? Beach?
Why not?
85 degree. I mean, you gotta do something. You gotta beat that heat
if you can.
Yeah, it's still summer in some parts of the state, I guess. And,
I'll be going tomorrow.
There you go. I haven't been to the beach all year, but yeah, it's a nice one out there. I just haven't. I haven't made a trip. It's tough. It's tough with the 2-year-old. You know, it's tough because you got to wrangle him, and he's got a mind of his own. He's just out running around. I'm not chasing him all over the beach, running in the sand. I don't want to Robert Edwards myself.
So this is a you issue, because you are too lazy and or whatever to not chase your kid. You don't want to let him go dig a hole in the sand. Is there anything more classic than a young child in the summer digging a hole in the sand?
That is nice, and it is. We bring him up to the lake, so it's not like we haven't had any sort of beach experience. But I haven't gone down to, like, you know, the shore or anything like that. Yeah. I haven't digging down to the Cape.
What are you doing tomorrow?
I haven't gone down to Scituate or anything. I don't know. Is it supposed to be hot again tomorrow?
Yeah, I believe it's supposed to be up around 80.
All right.
Get your ass to the beach and take your son with you.
All right, I'll take him down to the beach. I'll take him down there. Wife's getting her hair colored tomorrow. Yeah, we can have a little bro day down at the beach. Why not?
Let's go. A little cooler, full, a couple, not full if you're solo, just a couple beers, not full of beers, but maybe a couple beers for
the trip. It's like, hey, isn't that guy over there wasted with his 2-year-old son? Kind of looks like Arcan from host one from WEEI Afternoon Show.
At first, I thought you said we were going to say your wife was going to go so that you could kind of, you know, maybe cut back and relax a little bit. But if you're the solo parent on duty, yeah, maybe one or two beers is all you get.
Yeah, it's probably about right. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. A tough night last night for the Miami Dolphins, a game that they really weren't competitive in, and a game in which they lost their starting quarterback Tua Tagovailoa in a play you just heard. I feel bad for the guy, but that was not a bad hit by DeMar Hamlin, and he really made the decision there to go head first, diving for the first down on one of their only long drives of the second half, really one of their only long drives of the entire game. And you heard it right there. He goes head first right into sort of the middle of Hamlin's rib cage there, and goes down. You saw his arms curl up. It was very reminiscent to what happened last time, although without sort of the finger stuff that you saw that we all remember. It was almost like I don't even know what to call that, but like it was It was ugly. It was another ugly scene. It was sort of a sad scene as you watch the guy who everybody 2 years ago thought was going to retire. I thought he was going to retire. I didn't think he was going to go back out there, and he did. He played all last season. He was the leading passer in the entire league last year, and this year you see him cut off to kind of a rocky start with that loss to the Jaguars week one, a non-competitive really game against Buffalo in prime time, and then here's the injury, just kind of the cherry on top, as now Tua is going to have to go through this entire process again. And that process is going to be if these doctors, which I'll be honest with you, Andy, I have no expectation that these doctors are going to do the right thing here. I really don't. I have a feeling that these are the type of NFL doctors who will do whatever the team tells them to do. And if the team tells them, yeah, you got to clear this guy because we don't want to pay him $125 million to not play, then they'll do that. They'll do what the team tells them to do. And I hate to put it that way, but it just doesn't seem like, historically anyway, these team doctors have really shown much spine when it comes to this type of stuff.
Yeah, and it's the conflict of interest that players, you know, complain about. Right. And I do think he will probably consult with outside experts, get his own, you know, you go down that road. Now, I also don't know to what end. You know, we lived through the Reggie Lewis thing where there was an end goal in mind, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if Tua will do it for true desire to have all the information or if he'll do it to find someone who'll tell him what he wants to hear, that he can go back to playing, if that's the case, whatever it may be. But I would think he would obviously consult with as many people as possible. I would hope his agent, his family, his coach right there, who tries to come off in a very genuine, emotional way. And if that's true, put your money and your support where your mouth is, right? Like, put Tua first. Don't put, because actually, let's go to the audio I talked about earlier. We had Antonio Pierce. This is a head coach of another football team, the Las Vegas Raiders. And this is the very simple, straightforward advice that he would give to Tua Tagovailoa.
I'll be honest, I'll just tell him to retire. It's not worth it. It's not worth to play the game. I haven't witnessed anything like I've seen that's happened to him three times. Scary. You can see right away the players' faces on the field. You can see the sense of urgency from everybody to get Tua help. I just think at some point, you know, he's going to live longer and he's going to play football. Take care of your family.
And that's a guy who made his living as a linebacker, literally kind of banging heads for a living. And it's not his player. He doesn't have a, you know, super close personal relationship with him like that exists with Mike McDaniel and the bond that they've developed really from day one. Remember how Mike McDaniel went all in upon arrival in Miami, like, Tua, you're my guy, we're going to make this great, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's how a lot of people feel. Tony Gonzalez had comments like that making the rounds at Twitter. I think all of us just look at that and go, that's why you shouldn't play football, especially you, Tua. Like right there, like that instant reaction. And you mentioned it earlier. I even think it's almost misleading to say DeMar Hamlin hit him. He kind of hit DeMar Hamlin, and DeMar Hamlin kind of caught him.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of like
Tua initiated every part of that contact, yes.
And it was a weird thing where it wasn't helmet to helmet. It was more a snapping of the neck sideways when he made contact with Hamlin's body.
Mm-hmm.
But you just don't know what damage has been done, right? And all this CTE stuff and the things that you can't apparently still find out until autopsies. And God knows we don't want to go down that road for 40, 50, 60 years with Tua to find out what is going on with his brain. So that is the next step in this that I find concerning, interesting, questionable. Which doctors are going to tell him what? Like you seem to think or I think you have a certain skeptical nature toward doctors of NFL teams that work for the teams. Like there's an inherent...
Absolutely, I do.
Right. So, okay, he gets that. They say one thing. He goes to this doctor, you know, oh, we're going to go up to Boston or we're going to go down to Alabama. We're going to... But in the end, I don't think any of the... We know for a fact it's safer if he doesn't play again, right? That's a fact. If he never plays again, it's safer for him. And there's more risk if he plays again. And I'm not a doctor, but I've seen it. We've seen that he is susceptible to concussions. It's just the reality of his history of injuries or maybe just his genetics. his makeup, his physiology. But we know for a fact, like, I've seen it. We don't need a research study to tell us anything. We've researched it with our own eyes over four times, right, in the last year and a half.
Yeah, and we got all sorts of different camera angles of it, and we saw
right.
it up. It's
4K, gross.
Hey, basically. Everybody,
it's gross.
Everybody could see it. Everybody knows what's going on. We all watched them walk off the field with a limp for some reason, even though it was a head injury. Like, yeah, there's no more mystery here. Like, this is going to be one of those things that I think the court of public opinion is going to be very loud about. And whether or not you're a Dolphins fan or you even care about Tua in the first place, you're watching a guy out there who's trying to play and who is just susceptible to these types of injuries. I mean, that's all there is to it. He goes out there and there's a high risk for him, and it just keeps on happening. I mean, there's no nice way of putting it. Now, they're going to have to go on, and the Dolphins are going to have to field the team, and whatever happens with Tua, if he's done for the year or if he ends up retiring or what, they're going to have to do something here. How extreme of a step should they be taking right now? I think they should be going under the assumption that Tua is either done for the year, or if he does come back, it'll be temporary and they'll have to shut him down again at some point later. I think that's what you plan for, the worst and hope for the best, right? I mean, like, that's sort of what I think they should be doing. And if that's what they're doing, who should they look at?
Duval.
Oh, is that Mac Jones'
voice?
That
is indeed. That is Mac Jones trying to be cool.
I know we talked about it earlier. I do think Mac Jones makes a lot of sense, and I got a text from an angry pal that was like, did you watch Mac Jones? He effing sucks. Why would the Dolphins want him? Okay, he had a bad ending in New England. No one's going to dispute that. He had a nice start in New England, mm-hmm. and never in New England did he have the type of talent he would be able to work with. Well, Jonnu Smith technically is on the Dolphins.
That's true.
The Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle part of the talent, the A-chain and the running game part of the talent, and I would even say Mike McDaniel's offense is friendlier to the quarterback, or maybe easier on the quarterback in ways, and because that's a Shanahan offense, and that's what everyone's always told me. I remember talking to Jimmy Garoppolo when he was running Kyle Shanahan's offense for the scout team in the Super Bowl against the Falcons, and he's like, it's really QB friendly. It's really fun to play offense for him in this scheme. And so he goes to that scheme, gets good coaching again, gets good talent around him, and gets an opportunity that maybe he didn't see coming. Because I was wondering how Mac was going to rebuild his career, his confidence, what opportunities would come. And maybe this is an opportunity, because I don't love a lot of the other candidates. Like, who else is as... Mac Jones has led a team to the playoffs, correct?
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Yes, he has. Well, so is Joe Flacco. I mean, Joe Flacco's won a
Super Bowl. Joe Flacco's 137, and he's a stiff. He's an absolute stiff. You could put a totem pole back there, and he'd have more movement ability than Joe Flacco.
He's better than Deshaun Watson last year. There's also also Carson Wentz.
Was that Shannon Sharp or Mac Jones?
I believe that was Mac Jones. Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, if we're talking old guys. Then there were the Neverwers, and I'm just talking backups here. There's Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, Jared Stidham.
Jared Stidham.
Zach Wilson. I don't know. I mean, I'd rather Mac than Stidham. Kenny Pickett, Drew Locke, Davis Mills. And then there's the last group, which I think Mac's in, and that's the Aiden O'Connell, Sam Howell, Jake Browning, guys who started last year and didn't completely embarrass themselves, Tyson Bagent, like those guys. I think that's probably the highest tier of backup right now. And I'd put Mac Jones at the top of that list. I would. I don't think that there's anybody on there who you look at as a better resume than Mac Jones.
So let's use some of these guys. So Mac Jones is behind Trevor Lawrence. You have Browning behind Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow was doing the weird flex thing, and I know he wanted to laugh off the water bottle clip and everything. I don't really care about the water bottle. It's you were flexing nonstop. You
right.
felt something in that
you
that
were
didn't
squeezing
feel
that
right.
wrist the whole
right.
time they saw you. This, yeah.
So what would it take if you're one of those teams? Let's just use those two for example. What would it take for you to trade your backup quarterback in a league where, what's the number, 69 people, 68, 72, whatever the hell it was last year, started games?
I think it was 67.
Okay, 67.
It's a lot. There's a lot of QBs.
There's 32 teams.
35 of them are on the Cleveland Browns, but yeah.
Right. So what would, if you have Mac Jones and he's your backup and you feel comfortable with him being your backup, or you have Browning and you're comfortable with him being your backup and you have playoff aspirations, what would you need to get in order to trade that guy?
I think you need to get, at this point, we're talking third round pick, maybe even if it's like a high, I don't know about if Mac Jones is considered a high quality one, but like, I'm thinking like late second, early third is probably where I'd set
your
that
insurance.
Market. Yeah, you're giving
you're
up your insurance, but you're giving it to a team that's desperate for a quarterback. So you can ask for a lot.
Right, but it's also a team, if those two teams in particular, you might be battling those teams for a wild card spot.
Maybe.
And you just gave life to their season. So If I'm negotiating, I'm asking for more. I mean, I know it's ridiculous. I'm asking for a second round pick for Mac Jones. You really want a quarterback? Like, if the Dolphins call, now you got to be careful not to overplay your hand.
Right.
How much do you think they want him, or do they not care? Are they calling 17 teams and offering a fifth round pick, and whoever says yes, they'll take that quarterback?
Or calling Tom Brady.
Or we keep dismissing. Could they just go with Skylar Thompson?
They could. I don't think they will, but they could. I mean, I think that's their most obvious option. And
are we
not
sure he's worse than Mac?
Yeah, I think he's worse than Mac.
But are we sure?
Based on what I've seen of him in 2 years ago, I'd say, yeah, it was him and Bridgewater, right? They were the two backups, and then Bridgewater got hurt, and they put Thompson in. He couldn't do anything. So maybe he's gotten better in the last 2 years, and maybe Mac's no good. Although Mac lately, if we're talking about Mac lately, he was very good in the preseason. He's a top quarterback. He was the best player in the entire preseason, I'd say, quarterback-wise. He had the best QB rating. So, I mean, listen, Skylar Thompson wasn't doing that.
We counting that? We're counting preseason action now as the reason why you're going to give up a second-round pick for Mac Jones?
I mean, listen, if it's between that and Skylar Thompson, who wasn't doing that in the preseason, then I'd say yes.
Did you see the last 2 years of Mac Jones?
I certainly did. I saw him up close, and I did not care for them, but I also didn't see him throwing to Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill and all those other things you just mentioned. You put him in a real offense, I think Mac could run that offense. I think the Dolphins could be a playoff team with Mac Jones as their quarterback. I'd stand behind that.
I kind of do, too.
Yeah.
I wanted to push back there. I kind of wanted to poke your buttons and argue a little bit. But the reality is, I think they probably could be a playoff team. Because part of it, to me, is I carry over the idea that this is the San Francisco offense.
Right.
And the San Francisco offense has found different quarterbacks and made it work.
Everybody except Trey Lance.
Right. Well, because he's not really a quarterback.
Right.
But everybody said, oh, if Mac Jones had really gone three instead of Trey Lance, what would his career look like? It'd be so different. He'd be the star quarterback in San Francisco, throwing all those weapons, taking advantage of the
running game. A budding dynasty in San Francisco right now with Mac Jones. A couple rings. Yeah, yeah.
Didn't Kyle Shanahan want to draft Mac Jones, too, in the first
place? He did. He thought the Patriots would trade up and get him, and then they just didn't. They went Trey Lance instead. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll continue with this conversation. We'll look ahead to the Patriots here and the Seattle Seahawks. Gerard Mayo talked about Jacoby Brissett. And also, we'll hear from Alex Van Pelt, who spoke with Keefe and Jones earlier today. And we'll get to your phone calls as well. But first, here's Brian Frazo.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Go with what's trending. Jerod Mayo today talking about his quarterback, Jacoby Brissett. The Patriots' offense is one that, so far, is effective in the sense that it's very simple. You know, you just run the ball. We're going to run the ball at you. And they were effective at doing that against the Bengals team. Can they throw if they need to is the big question, I think, on everybody's mind. And with Jacoby Brissett out there, it's a fair question. He hasn't exactly didn't light it up in the preseason, didn't really light it up in that first game, spent a lot of the time running away from broken down pockets and not really throwing on the move all that much. I didn't think he had a bad game throwing, really only one bad decision there. But in general, I think that's the top question on everyone's mind. If Seattle is able to not stop the run but bottle it up a little bit and force this team to throw, can they do it?
I don't believe so, and that is the root of, I mean, that's the root of the question this team has faced all offseason, right? Between the pass protection and the weapons and the quarterback, and that's the issue for me. I think all three are major red flags. It'd be one thing if I felt great about the protection and the weapons, and I said, I mean, Jacoby Brissett's a pro quarterback. He'll be able to find a way. I don't. Or if the quarterback was a question, but the, you know what I mean? Like every one of them is a question. What are the chances that Vedarian Lowe and Michael Jordan give Jacoby Brissett more than enough time to find Jalen Polk with regularity? Like those all feel like hypotheticals. You're big into hypotheticals. I know you love them.
Yes.
Those, you know, hypothetically, Brissett has enough time. Hypothetically, Jalen Polk gets open. Hypothetically, Brissett sees him. And hypothetically, Brissett makes an accurate throw. Seems like a lot of hypotheticals. Bit of a bridge too far.
I'd say so. I mean, I think that there's.
Am I being negative?
No. I don't think that's negative. It's realistic. I mean, I think that's a realistic take here when it comes to this team and what they are. I mean, no one expected them to be anything at all on offense. I don't think anyone expected this running game to be able to go out and pick up a win over Cincinnati just on the strength of your run game. And with the offensive line, I think Stevenson's probably their best player, but I wasn't expecting some huge year for him after last year. And no one expected anything from this passing game, whether it was Drake May out there, you know, feeling his way around for the first time, or Jacoby Brissett, who, you know, is no ego, and that's all nice, but is not a big-time passer in this league. So, yeah, I don't think there's any reason to believe that, but I don't think there was any reason to believe that they could run the Bengals right off their home field. So, you know.
But there was more reason to believe that.
There's definitely more reason to believe that. That's true.
And okay, so here's another test, and I keep going back to this. So I was dubious of Jerod Mayo's consistent praise of the ground game in the summer. You know, going back to the preseason, going back to the practice field, he thought that was their strength and they had done good things. And I saw a ground game that struggled at times on the practice field against the Patriots defense, to be fair, a good defense that has shown it's going to be a good defense. But he was right. That was the strength of their team early in the season for at least 1 week. That was the strength of the ground game, the offensive line. So he says they can be better, and he says he has confidence. I would also say it's a good thing that the quarterback doesn't have an ego, because otherwise he might be offended when you say, we got a guy in the wings that we need to get more reps to. If a guy had an ego, he might be offended by that.
Yeah, you'd think so. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to go down the slate of games here in week two and give you our picks. But first, let's go to the phone. Steve is in Fall River with a thought on the division now post-Tua injury. Hi, Steve.
All right, pre-Tua injury, the Buffalo Bills had set a record, a very unbelievable record in the NFL last week. They had gone 42 games without losing by more than 6 points. And naturally, it became 43 on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
Before Tua got injured, he was struggling. He's not very accurate. I called you guys. I called all the radio shows after the game last year in Miami. And I was making a case right then and there for Mac Jones. Two calls ago, I told you about the hypothetical of switching Hurts and Tua and that, putting Mac down in Miami, and he'd have success. Mac Jones would have more success with the Miami Dolphins because he's a more accurate passer than Tua is.
I don't know about that, Steve. I don't know about that. I mean, you're talking about a guy who led the league in passing yards last year in week one against Jacksonville. I know they got off to a bad start, but he finished week one, I think, with the most passing yards in the league. So, like, you can say he's not accurate, but he's accurate enough for that offense, and he certainly is able to put the ball where guys on his offense can go get it. I mean, I don't really think that was a big problem with him this year.
Yeah, I don't think he's known for his accuracy. If anything, that's sort of what
right.
Because he does not have a strong arm. That was the issue on the pick six. He knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to throw it away. He just didn't have the arm to get it there.
Right.
And it came up short, and he threw it right to a corner. One of his interceptions could not have been more accurate. The guy made the in-cut. Tua threw it before he made the in-cut, and it hit the guy right in the shoulder, bounced off for a deflected interception. And then Robbie Chosen now?
Yes.
Like, what the hell is that?
I don't know. It's the Ron Artest thing. It's like Metal World Peace, you know?
But is just... this like... Because wasn't... Are these religious, I guess, is my question?
I don't know about that. Rip them
if they're like religious-based. They're just weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he changed
it chosen
to Muhammad Ali or something. Like, it's,
right.
It's like, still Robbie.
I don't want to rip a guy
now.
If he converts to Muslim and like changes his name and that's part of it, but it seems stupid to me. Anyway, he threw it to him, and they clearly weren't on the same page. It was either a bad overthrow or he wasn't in the right spot. There were some questions there. But in general, everybody says that Tua throws a catchable ball. Tua throws you open. Tua hits you in stride. Tua puts it where you can have run after the catch. That's
right.
Why he works well in that offense. So I do think he has some accuracy, even though he didn't have a very good game before he got knocked out last night. The Mac thing. So Mac, Steve's big on Mac apparently now,
yeah,
I guess.
Big Mac guy.
You think Mac would have broken when Brian Flores was telling him, you suck, you shouldn't play, you shouldn't be here, you're the worst, all these things that supposedly he told Tua?
He definitely would have been calling his old coaches at Alabama and bitching about it, that's for sure. I guarantee
he would have broken.
That, yeah.
He would have snapped, just like he snapped in New England, because Mac was mentally fragile, and he may still be, but guess what? I think you can be fragile and play for Mike McDaniel, because I think he's a guy that he's a player's coach. He's absolutely a player's coach. So that might be a fit for Mac, but we'll see. I don't know. I got Steve telling me how great Mac is, and I got somebody texting me that Mac is the worst quarterback ever, and he bleeping blows, and he's been terrible for 2 years, and why do you think he could be any different in Miami?
I think he could be very different in Miami, because Miami's a better offense than the Patriots. Simple as that. Let's go to Bob in London there. Go ahead, Bob.
I'm not sure. Have you, like, played football?
That was one of Mac's best moments, by the way. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. I was just listening to your show there, and you know, you're obviously back on the topic of, you know, the concussions.
Yeah.
And, you know, believe it or not, I know this is a whole other subject, but these guys, like the fellow there who's, you know, well off financially, you know, he's very lucky that he's at least in a situation where they have, you know, concern and they take it serious. Because I'm one of the people... 24 years ago, I was on a motorcycle. I did nothing wrong. I was run over, and literally, you don't have to believe this, they took my head off my head, put it back together. I was in a coma for 6 months, hired one of your attorneys that you guys advertised on your station, and I basically collected nothing. And when talk was brought up of concussions, it was like being in the military.
Bob.
Too bad.
Bob.
Suck it up.
Bob.
And that's what I got. Yep.
Bob, did you just say that your head came off of your, but they took the head off your body? That's what you're claiming on this show right now?
Yeah, I have photographs to prove it, and I was in a coma for 6 months.
You have a photograph of your head detached from your body?
Why are you yelling at him?
Because this is amazing. This is an amazing thing we're hearing right now.
No, I'm serious, and what I'm trying to say is, all kidding aside, I collected nothing, and there was no concern of anything in the future. I was told, like a veteran, military, suck it up and get ready to go back to work. No, I never did go back due to the fact that I could no longer do.
Yes.
But I'm just telling you, I didn't collect nothing. So when you get a guy like me, here's the stuff going on with these guys. Remember, no wound, no injury, nothing, and they're treated with kid gloves.
All right, thanks for the call, Bob. Maybe I'm weird. I mean, I'm definitely weird. I want to see those pictures. I want to see pictures of Bob, because that's got to be a medical first, right? I mean, this is a major breakthrough here where you can, I know that like when you want to cryogenically free, like Ted Williams, right? If you want to cryogenically free somebody, you take the head and you put it in the thing there. By the way, being cryogenically frozen sounds good, but like you don't have to wake me up. Just I'll be cryogenically frozen forever. That sounds
so
like,
what's the point?
That sounds like a good time. It's just, you know, no one's bothering me. I'm in my little thing. You know,
so
no one
just kill you.
No, well, I know, you. But it, in this case, it's just I'm still alive.
So just a permanent coma.
Just permanently, just floating in that little tube. You know, right? Isn't that what they do? That's what that is in Futurama. Like that sounds okay. That sounds like, just don't wake me up. Don't.
Would you want to be with anybody else?
No, I don't need anybody else around. Just
are
keep
you
my,
conscious?
No, I mean maybe once in a while I'll wake up and you know scroll through Twitter
be
or something. But like yeah, but yeah, I'm just I'm floating there. I'm cryogenically frozen.
Every 10 years, you just catch up on what you missed and then go back to sleep.
And then I go back to bed. Yeah, and no one bothers me, and that sounds perfectly fine. Honestly,
why
that
not
sounds
just
fine
die?
By me. Because who wants to die? Yeah, I mean, that's not what I'm saying.
Would
I'm
you
not,
still eat? Would
I'm
you still drink?
I'm not trying to get dark here. No, I don't need to eat or drink. I'm just floating in the tube. That's all I'm doing. There's nothing going on at all. I'm just being left alone to my own devices as a detached head floating in the tube. That's really my ideal lifestyle, I'd say. If I could pick one, that's what I'd prefer.
You need a doctor.
617-779-7937. Tom is in Framingham. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how are we doing?
What's up?
So I was thinking that why didn't the Patriots go after Russell Wilson? So Russell Wilson was, I believe his current contract was $1.2 million. So why didn't they go after him instead of Jacoby Brissett? If the Patriots were all set on money for 1 year while we wait for Drake May.
Because I think they wanted a true good mentor and not whatever the hell Russell Wilson's been for the last few years, and a guy that helped break up the Seahawks, helped destroy the Broncos, and I don't think is a willing participant in the development of Drake May. They wanted a guy like Jacoby Brissett, who brings the intangibles, who doesn't necessarily have aspirations of being a 5-year starter or rekindling his Hall of Fame career. I think they had a very, very specific type of quarterback or target quarterback, and Jacoby Brissett was one of the few that remained on the list when they started chopping guys off. Because I think they chopped other guys off.
Yeah.
I think you could ask, like, why didn't they go get Sam Darnold? Well, because Sam Darnold wants to be a starter. We don't want to go down that road. Our starter is being drafted number 3 overall. We need a guy that is going to be a mentor, a leader, a helper kind of guy, and they landed on Jacoby Brissett, and I think it was a good pick.
Yeah, I think so, too. Ultimately, I think it ended up working out fine. People in the Twitch chat are telling me that you can have an internal detachment. Like, your head doesn't actually come off your body, but there's, like, it can happen that, like internally,
the
something with the spine, I guess, and that they can reattach it and you won't die. But I've never heard of that before. I wasn't trying to be a jerk to the guy. I literally had never heard anyone say that before.
You were
and
a
he
little
said
harsh.
He said it very confidently, and I was interested. I mean, I was interested in what he was saying.
You kind of attacked a guy.
I didn't attack him. I was asking if I was
sharing the low point
saying.
Of his life on the radio, and you kind of went after him like he was just Steve from Fall River.
I wasn't going after him. I was asking him if what he was saying. I was trying to clarify.
Oh, your head came off. You're telling me
off.
Your head came off.
That's a big thing to say, I think. I mean, I've never heard
tone
about that
is
before.
An issue there. Like, maybe just, hey, so really, your head came off?
Oh, really?
How
you're tone policing me now, Andy?
No,
you
there
are?
There was a little bit of a tonal issue
You of
issue
all
there.
People? Okay,
there
very
was
good.
A little tonal issue there. And I'm not necessarily sure I'd buy the whole story and I like the whole thing, but I would also tell him, unfortunately, right or wrong, we can go down this road a separate day. Professional athletes are treated differently.
Absolutely.
So, like, I mean, sorry that accidents happen everywhere. People have all these issues. That's why DeMar Hamlin lived, because he was in the best place to have what happened to him. Because
right.
There's all these people. I mean, Kyle Van Noy was bitching that the orbital doctor didn't come down within 5 minutes
right,
to look
yeah.
at his eye.
Yeah, it's true. He
right?
was he like, was very upset about that. Yeah.
Right, whereas normal people need to see a specialist, and they're like, well, I can see you. Let's see, we're booking appointments for February. Is that work? And it's like, whoa, February? I need to get seen. No, the real world is different than the sports world. Sorry that the caller, you know, doesn't really.
If Bob had been decapitated on the 50-yard line at Gillette Stadium, he probably would be all set, you know? I mean, it seems like he's doing
yes.
okay anyway, but, like, it would have been much quicker. Probably would have been able to collect. He said he didn't get to collect anything. That's crazy. I feel bad for Bob. I mean, listen, that sounds like a terrible ordeal. I was just
yes.
very interested in the fact that a man whose head was cut off was able to talk to us on the phone. I thought that was amazing. I was interested in that. I didn't mean to attack him. 617-779-7937. Let's take one more before the break here. Bill is in the car. Go ahead, Bill.
A little bit off topic, but yet on topic, is this the Vegas Raiders coach that made comments about Tua? Would that be considered tampering?
That's an interesting question, Bill.
Yeah.
I think it is, actually, right? I mean, if you're telling you this is what I think a player on another team should retire and end his career, I mean, you're not, you know, it's not like I'd love to have him on the team, which is generally what happens when these guys get in trouble, but it is talking about what another player is doing. I think there is probably some tampering.
They do
there,
play each other November 17th.
He just doesn't want to play him. He's afraid that they're going to run the score up on his terrible football team. It did stand out to me because usually coaches are just so hesitant to talk about players on other teams for really anything, and especially so definitively that, and it, I mean, if they have to pay him and he retires, there's salary cap implications. Like, could they blame Antonio Pierce because they owe Tua $124 million on the salary cap that ruins their cap for X number of years? Yeah, I was a little surprised at it, but I think my guess is everybody will look the other way because it's seen as sort of a human gesture. It's just, you know, a situation that's terrible that everybody kind of shares their opinions on. But yeah, it was weird. It was definitely, it stuck out to me. And we know these young player coaches can misspeak and say things they regret later. We've lived it on a lesser level with Gerard Mayo already.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't telling anybody to retire, but yeah, you see these guys want to have a relationship with the media, maybe different from the last guy. If the last guy was either Bill Belichick or one of his minions or someone who just rubbed people the wrong way, you try and go the other way in that direction, and I think that Pierce had good intentions. I don't think he was trying to say anything bad or trying to get an advantage on the game that's coming up in November or anything like that. So, I think that was sincere what he was saying, but yeah, the NFL's weird about stuff like that.
Or Keith Spiracy. Keith Spiracy, Antonio Pierce has pulled the wool over Mark Davis's eyes, and he knows that, but he's concerned that future minority owner Tom Brady might realize Antonio Pierce is a boob and fire him, so if Tua retires, Tom Brady gives up his pursuit of ownership of the Raiders to go play for the Dolphins, and Antonio Pierce can continue to pull the wool over Mark Davis's eyes.
Now that's a good conspiracy. 617-779-793. I like that one. 793-7 is the phone number. We got room for you here, and when we come back, we got a big college football game this weekend. Boston College taking on the Missouri Tigers. We'll get into that next. 4:46 here, WEEI afternoon. Christian Arkins, Andy Hart. And I don't know. I'll tell you, the Patriots winning in week one maybe sapped the cloud of the BC Eagles a little bit, but they still got a big game on Saturday, 12:45 at Memorial Stadium in Columbia, Missouri. The BC Eagles and the Tigers of Mizzou. A game between two ranked teams. BC now 24th in the nation. Missouri number 6. They have been largely untested so far. Two layups to start against Murray State and Buffalo, who they beat by a combined score of 89-0, which is pretty definitive, I would say, that this Missouri team is out there ready to play in the SEC. They're off to a 2-0 start, just like Texas, just like Ole Miss, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, a bunch of teams off to a 2-0 start. Do the Eagles have a snowball's chance in hell here, Andy Hart, of even making this a game?
Sure. You're facing a team that hasn't really proven anything yet. Can we agree?
Absolutely. They've proven they can blow out a bunch of
bad teams.
Crap teams, yeah.
Whereas Boston College, I don't know how much they've proven because I don't know how much of a debacle Florida State is, but they beat a ranked opponent. They beat a top 10 opponent. They've taken care of their business. They have a new coach who's establishing a new style. And I saw the numbers are ridiculous, and it's escaping me now, but Missouri's allowed like nothing on the ground, and Boston College has been dominant on the ground. So there's a matchup there, but I don't really care about Missouri's side. I've seen Boston College do it in a real game against a real opponent. Supposedly the Florida State front was going to have all these first round picks and all this elite talent. So BC can run the football. If they run the football, it's a little bit like the Patriots. They have a chance to win. If they can control the line of scrimmage and run the football, and their quarterback takes care of the football, which he has through two games, he's been sort of conservative, taken the plays that are available but not made the mistakes that have hindered him at times in recent past. Absolutely, they have a chance. Do I expect them to win? No, because it's really hard to be a lower-tier team and beat two top-10 opponents in the same season. How often does that happen?
Like, very, very rarely, I would say.
Right. So, you know, you're shooting your shot here, but it's the Bill O'Brien era. I have faith in Billy O. I think he's a good coach. I think he does a good job competing. I think if you look at his teams, they compete. Whether it's Penn State, Houston, whatever, they compete.
Not the Patriots last year, but that wasn't technically his team.
Yeah, I don't think, more and more I think about that, I think that was a Belichickian debacle that he just couldn't overcome.
Yeah.
He just was collateral damage in that world of Kraft and Belichick and Mayo and not talking and quarterbacks and just
I think they would have had a tough time with any offensive coordinator, and I'll even go a step further. I think they would have had a tough time even with a much better quarterback than Mac Jones. I think, I mean, obviously Mahomes could do whatever, but like, if you're talking about I don't know, say like a Jared Goff or a Tua or, you know, one of these other guys here who's not Lamar Jackson even. I think you would have a hard time in that offense and that system with everything going on and things really behind the scenes, as we know now, falling apart all around them. I think that would have been a tough season for anybody. I mean, really, I think any offensive coordinator and most quarterbacks in the league, I think, would have struggled with the Patriots last year.
So now he's running his own ship. He's in control. He has kids that are all kind of pulling in the right direction, and I think he has built a little something. You know, reading from some of the comments of the players about how they're enjoying the fact that, yeah, you go around campus and people have BC football shirts on, and there's excitement, and there's like a buzz, there's an energy around BC football that can be contagious. It's a little bit like the Patriots, yep. Right? Like, we talked about it, you more than I, but talked about how important that was organizationally to sort of change things, the culture, and help boost the culture. It's the same thing at BC. If they lose to Florida State, there's a different vibe right now. They're probably a 1-1 team. They beat Duquesne. They're 1-1, but there's a totally different vibe. No one's caring. No one's watching this game because they assume they're going to play an SEC team.
And they're
going to
get slaughtered. Absolutely,
right.
Yeah.
And they may get slaughtered either way, but there's hope. There's energy. I'll tell you this, there is a shot that I am trying to figure out on my phone at the beach how to watch this game when I pull up to the beach and try to settle in with a chair and a beer. I don't know if it'll work. I'm not even sure.
You want to watch a two-year-old for a couple hours?
No, I do not.
All right.
I've been there, done that. I like that I can now drink a beer, and even if my kid comes with me, I go, yeah, you'll probably have to save me from drowning, so you're the one who needs to stay sober. So, I'm in a different point in my parenting, and I'm enjoying it.
Last time BC played Missouri, I don't know if it's the last time they played, but recently when they played them, 3 years ago, BC beat them at Alumni Stadium 41-34. It was not a big year for Missouri, I don't think, 2021, but I'll go back and check and see how they finished that year. It was a September game, September 25th. At Alumni Stadium, Chestnut Hill, and an overtime touchdown from Dennis Grozel to Zay Flowers was the decider in this one, as BC came away with a 41-34 overtime win. It's a very different Missouri team, and of course a very different BC team this time around. But that is interesting that they have a history where BC was one of their random wins, I guess. By the way, we have your injury report. Don't need breaking news here. I don't want to upset anybody, but
City So's going to play. We don't need breaking news.
City So's out.
Oh, my God.
This is
how are we ever going to win? I mean, you can win one game without City So. There's no way you win two in a row without City So.
I mean, that's what people are saying. Like, impossible. A two-game win streak without So, no way. Also, Kyle Duggar, questionable with an ankle. Jermichael Hasty, questionable with a knee. Layden Robinson popped up yesterday. He's questionable with a shoulder injury, as is Dietrich Wise. So there you go. You got four questionable players, and City So, once again, is out. Thank you very much. And over on the other side, you got, for Seattle, it's not looking great either. Kenneth Walker, I think, is doubtful. Let me pull this up here. I just had it a second ago, and now I lost it. But, the injury report for Seattle, George Fant, their starting left tackle, and their running back, it looks like, are both going to be listed as doubtful, which is not good news for them. I mean, obviously, you don't want to lose your left tackle, and Kenneth Walker was very effective last week against Denver, which is a strong defense. Both of those guys, doubtful. Farrell Brown is out. Uchenna Nwosu is also out, the linebacker, and Jerome Baker and Tyrell Dodson, both questionable for Seattle. We'll have, obviously, the inactives on Sunday when we have NFL Sunday, and we'll be talking to you there, of course, Andy. But, yeah, that's what it's looking like here on Friday.
Can I give you my two biggest takeaways? Obviously, the biggest one is Kenneth Walker.
Right.
Because doubtful is doubtful, right? Like, that's a good chance he's not going to play.
I usually assume doubtful means out. I mean, that's generally how I take
that. So Zach Charbonnet, their backup running back, who has not been good. He was tackled for one of those safeties.
Yes.
In the first game. He was okay last year. I think he averaged over 4 yards a carry in a limited role, like 400 or 500 yards rushing over the course of the season. But that's a big blow to them and what they want to do. Now, they may just decide, okay, well, what's our strength? Our strength is our receivers. We're going to have to throw the ball more, Geno. We're going to have to treat you like a big boy quarterback. You can't just play Jacoby Brissett-style football and throw for 100-and-something yards. We're going to need you to throw it all over the field. That may play into the Patriots' hands if they can get the pass rush. If Keon White's killing him, deflecting balls, maybe there's opportunities for turnovers because, you know, Geno Smith is not exactly Patrick Mahomes. The other one for me, Jabril Peppers being removed from the injury report. So Jabril Peppers, who this time a week ago couldn't walk, is now completely healthy and yet Kyle Duggar
and the other safety's hurt. Yeah.
Is hurt.
Yeah,
and I'm like, very, very strange. But that's good news on Peppers. I like the fact that he's healthy. Now it's the because I guess it's less of an issue. Well, no, not really, because they're both going to be involved in the pass defense if mm-hmm. Seattle does start to sling it all over the field.
100%, yeah.
So it's not ideal that each week it seems like one of your safeties is dealing with something.
Yeah, seems that way. By the way, the Seahawks also have, you remember Kenny McIntosh from Georgia?
Oh, yeah.
I remember him on the Georgia team. He was like almost Mr. Irrelevant. He was a seventh-round pick by the Seahawks last year. He's behind Charbonnet and may see some time. If Walker's not out there, they're going to need a change of pace back, and I think he's the only other running back on the roster. So that could end up being someone that you see a little bit. I don't know much about him. I remember he was good in college, but didn't have much of a didn't have a lot of great prospects there to even make the NFL. But he's on a team. He ended up making the team as a seventh-round pick, and you may see a little bit of him as well. So there you go. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Coming up in the next hour, we will make our picks. Also, we'll have This Week in Social Media. It's all about Shannon Sharp. It's all coming up next hour.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.